close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side,
shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grimly ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for the evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
As always, please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And go ahead and pull down on those lap bars because we will not be doing that for you. We are thankful for all those of you who have already downloaded and listened to our early episodes. This is episode 3, Carousel of Process. Travel, travel, travel. And speaking of travel, Derek, you recently traveled to Walt Disney World in recent days. Tell us a little bit just briefly about that trip.
I did. We went September 26th through the 29th, and just a few days. We like the shorter trips. Just makes a little more sense to us. We get to go more often that way instead of doing longer trips because hotels, and we're able to stay in different types of hotels. So,
and where did you stay on this particular?
We rented DVC points and stayed at Bay Lake Tower.
So it's hard to complain there.
It is.
Just minutes away from walking to the Magic Kingdom. And I believe you said this was your first trip with a one-year-old. How was that?
Our first trip, yes, with a one-year-old, but his third trip this year. So Boone, it was a lot tougher this time since he's able to walk now. So he's a lot more energetic and wants to be more independent.
Those kids of ours, they're always getting in the way, aren't they?
did you take a stroller or did you rent one?
We rented one from...
That's what we always did.
An outside company, not the Disney strollers, so...
We'll talk about that in a later episode, won't we?
Yes, we will. So, what we want to talk to you about today, last episode we spoke a little bit about where to begin. Where do you begin in the trip planning process? How do you go about starting, asking the right questions and starting the planning process? And we discussed as a group and decided that we kind of want to begin going through this with you, speaking about the travel portion of your Disney World trip. How do you get there? What are the options? What does the cost look like? Because, again, we're bringing this podcast to you from the standpoint of all three of us. We are fathers. All three of us have families. What's it going to look like for a family to budget making your trip to Walt Disney World?
Well, we can also touch a little bit on, even as individuals, Derek's been by himself. I went down a day early. Y'all have been as couples without children. So we've got all kinds of different ways to look at it. We really want to focus on families, but we can answer a lot of questions on different things, different aspects of being single or with a family. But the first time I ever went, we drove. I think we stayed. I guess we need to say, first and foremost, we mentioned this earlier, we live in Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, so it's about 6 to 8 hours, roughly. No, I'm sorry.
11.
Let's scratch that one.
How fast are you driving, Craig?
Sorry, I was thinking going to the beach. Yeah, I think it's 10 to 11 hours. We went on the way down there and stayed the other side of Atlanta going down, and then on the way back we stayed this side of Atlanta. So kind of cut it in half and didn't make it as tough. That's when I had a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, so you needed that break. It wasn't that bad, but then the first time I flew, it became bad.
Well, so what we decided to do, and again, me personally, Sissy and I and our boys, we've always flown from Nashville to Orlando. We drove one time from Panama City over to Orlando, but every other time we've been, we have flown. And Derek, you've done both, kind of like Craig, mostly flying, some driving.
Yeah, we've only, like you, we went to Fort Walton Beach area and drove down from there. But then on the way back, we drove back all the way. So not something I would really recommend.
Well, and ultimately what this comes down to is, you know, what is this going to cost? And last week we talked about some of the beginning stages of planning your trip to Walt Disney World, setting up a My Disney Experience account on the Disney website, figuring out what your budget is. And really, we thought before you can determine what hotel you're going to stay in, what kind of park tickets you're going to have, what you're going to spend on food, you need to figure out, okay, what's it going to cost us just to get there and then get back home? As much as some of us may like to get there and just stay, we do have to return back home, sadly. But what we did is, over the last few days, we kind of researched different, I guess you could say, plans of attack. Derek kind of researched what the cost would be approximately to drive to Orlando, to Walt Disney World. I kind of looked up what it would cost to fly, and Craig did a little research as far as what it would cost to rent a car, if that's what you chose to do when you were there. Just to kind of briefly touch on the demographics of what we based this research on, and obviously this is going to be different for every family, but again, we're based in Middle Tennessee. We looked at it from that standpoint. Obviously, travel is going to be different if, say, you live in California or upstate New York, but we looked at it from, okay, here we are, Middle Tennessee. What's it going to cost to fly? How long is it going to take? And the same thing for driving. And I think we used a family of four to kind of base those numbers on. So that's just a very small sample size that we're working with, but we did want to give you some idea of what to budget. So, Derek, what did you find as far as the numbers for traveling down via automobile?
Well, from Centerville, it's about 740 miles. So if we're in our car...
Was that about... 740 miles.
About.
Right around 740.
740. I think it was like 738 when I looked at it, but I rounded up a little. But so for us, that'd be two tanks of gas each way. And a tank of gas for us is anywhere from $40 to $50. So $200 for just in gas. And then, of course, you have to add in every stop you make, you're probably going to spend a little money. And when we had Boone, we were stopping every 2 to 3 hours and getting a drink, changing diapers, and just letting him get out of the car seat some. And so an 11-hour trip becomes a 14 or 15-hour trip pretty easily with a small child. So on a trip that long, about the most I'm willing to drive during a day is 8 hours. And so, because I'm not one to be able to sit in a car for extended periods of time without some sort of interaction with someone other than my wonderful wife and small
and so,
child.
I mean, you know, that's obviously something that every family has to take into account. If you are the type of family that can hop in a car and drive for 11 hours, by all means, do it in one stretch,
absolutely,
if possible. But for those of us with small children, that's probably not a viable option. If you want to keep your sanity, like you said.
Absolutely. And then, of course, driving, you're going to stop for food. You're going to, if you're like me, you're going to stop at least one night for a hotel. So that's going to run you another $100 to $150 probably if you stay at an inexpensive place. And that's going to be each way too. So that'd push it $200 to $300 total. So you're looking at around $500 minimum.
Right.
That's just in gas and hotel bill if you spend stopover. So
that was about right for us when we drove. Of course, first time we went, that's when gas was $4 to $5 a gallon. I mean, that's when gas prices were crazy. But flying, we had waited too long, and it was more expensive than that. So we spent probably $700-$800 going down there and coming back, but it's still cheaper than flying.
Mm-hmm. And by the time whoever may listen to this, gas prices may be up there to $4, or they could be down under $2.
Right.
And again, so we just want to give you a general idea. So you got about $200 for gas, $200 to $300 for a hotel, let's say $50 to $100 for food. Again, depending on maybe more.
I'd say each way, probably. I mean, because you figure you'd stop for at least two meals.
Yeah, if you're driving 5 hours, give or take, you're going to stop a couple times and eat.
Mm-hmm. So conservatively, we could say traveling via car or SUV, whatever, you're looking at $600 to $700. Obviously, if you're a family that can cut out that stay on the way down, on the way back, it's more like $300 or $400, so much more feasible. One of the perks of having older children that can stay in the car for longer stretches of time.
And two, we keep saying, remember, we're talking about coming from Tennessee. So if you're coming from somewhere up north, you're looking at a lot more cost. If you're traveling from somewhere lower part of Georgia, you're not looking at as much cost. So again, that plays a big factor in everything.
Craig, now you looked up a little bit about, I'll talk here in a second about flights there, and then we can all talk about Disney's Magical Express, but you looked up a little information regarding if you were to, say, fly, what would the renting a car process be like if you wanted to when you were in Orlando?
Yeah, once you get there, it's kind of a, I guess we can all chime in on this too. If I was flying down there, I would not necessarily rent a car if you're staying on property, because once you get on property, you can pretty much can get around, save money there once you take the Magical Express. But there's some people that love to go from park to park without using the transportation to Disney, because there are some waiting, there is some lines you stand in, so it does make it quicker. Again, that's your option, but those are some options out there. I looked at the third week of October, the third week of December, the third week of February, and the third week of May. The third week of October, small is $90, medium is $97, large is $104, SUV is $224, and a van is $330. You jump over to December.
Is that per day?
That is for a week.
Oh, for a week. Okay.
Yeah. So not bad prices, but that's for, like I said, I did everyone on for a week because we're kind of looking at encouraging a week's about right.
Mm-hmm.
That was from Sunday to Saturday. And that makes a difference too. It's a little bit cheaper if you come in on Saturday and go to Friday. But from Sunday to Saturday, these are the prices for that. December, this is, entails the week of, it goes from the 17th to 23rd is the dates I ran, so it's getting close to Christmas. $145 for a small, $177 for medium, large is $203, SUV is $305, and a van is $355. Then we get to, it's funny, in February and then looking at May, the prices are exactly the same. Third weekend, or third weeks for both of those, $145 for a small, $177 for a medium, $203 for a large, $258 for a SUV, and then a van is $328. Now, also keep in mind, it depends on what vehicle you need, how large your family is, those type of things, and you may find better discounts. This was me going straight to Orlando Airport, looking at different rental fees. So you may have some discounts through one thing or the other, which I would encourage you to do. There's always discounts on rental cars. But those are just some figures to look at. Again, going from $90 to $145, depending on what year it is, for a small vehicle. If you're looking at SUV, you're going from $224 to $258, $305. So it just depends on how big your family is. A family of four, if you're looking at SUV, you're going from $200 to
$300. $200 to $300 a week on average.
For a week.
And, the rental cars is really not necessary unless you start thinking and considering, well, we want to go to Universal Studios, or we want to go to SeaWorld, or we want to go to different other things.
Correct.
In Orlando, because I remember the first time that Sissy and I went, she wanted to go to SeaWorld, and I think the round trip cost of a cab fare just from the Wilderness Lodge to SeaWorld and back was around $70 or $80. Which for one round trip is pretty expensive. Now we may want to talk a little bit about this later too, is using things like Uber and Lyft, which we have done, the three of us done in the past. But the rent a car option is certainly on the table if you're looking at going other places.
You may think rental too, because I want to go to the grocery store, I want to do those things. They have available services for that, will deliver to your room and will be there waiting on you when you get there. Disney has, and the surrounding businesses have thought of everything. So a car is not a necessity unless, like Matthew said, the only way I can see it being a necessity is if I want to go to SeaWorld or Universal, somewhere like that. Other than that, your transportation's all there. Now, you may have to wait some, like I said earlier, but you're not spending money. So that's, for me, that's the biggest factor in the rental.
Well, and for some, having a car there with you it provides a sense of comfort, because you're not relying upon the Disney bus system. You're basically in control of when you want to get in the car and where you want to go. You have the freedom to do that.
And a lot of that depends on too where you're staying, because there's some boats at some places, there's a tram at some places, there's the bus at some places, and then like you said earlier, we can get into Uber and things like that.
And just one thing I wanted to point out about parking in general, it's $20 if you're not a Disney resort guest. So if you're staying on property, that's $20 that you don't have to pay to park and have the freedom of to come and go when you want. So,
and you said you're there for 7 days, that's $140 just for parking if you're not on a Disney World hotel, which we'll talk about, I believe, in our next episode. I researched some information as far as flights, and I'll say Derek Craig did quite a bit of research there.
He did.
He pulled up a lot of numbers. That's Craig. He's our researcher. But the only time we've flown to Orlando, we use Southwest Airlines, and that You know, you can find cheaper rates out there, but Southwest works good for our family. Works well, I should say. My mother, who was a first grade teacher for 40 years, would not be happy with my grammar. But I just looked at the first week of April, which is about 6 months away from now. And again, the thing with flights is a lot of times is the earlier you can book those flights, the better. Because with Southwest, those want-to-get-away fares will get away from you pretty quickly, not to sound humorous.
They do, and typically if you wait to that 2 month, inside of 2 months, it's not going to get any cheaper at all.
Right.
So.
We need to get a soundboard with the cymbal crash. But the first week of April, and a lot of times with Southwest and really any airline, the days of the week that you fly on is going to make a big difference. If you fly on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, especially Friday and Sunday, the fares are going to be a lot higher. Whereas if, you know, Monday through Thursday is not nearly as bad. Tuesday and Wednesdays are the lowest.
Are the lowest. And then Thursday's a little higher. Friday and Monday are going to run about the same. And Saturday is probably going to run about a Thursday price. And Sundays.
And if you do
most
book,
expensive
if
probably.
You do book early and then it gets cheaper, you can get that back.
With Southwest, you can.
With Southwest, you can always rebook at a lower price. Looking at Sunday, April 1st, which is about 6 months away. Again, that's on a Sunday. The cheapest outgoing flight to Orlando was $151. That's with one stop. And again, this is from Nashville to Orlando. It's obviously going to vary depending on where you are at. The cheapest nonstop flight was $203. Now, you contrast that to flying there on Monday, you can get a nonstop flight late in the evening for as low as $89, which I don't, every time I check it, it's not that cheap. But you look at your return flight, and if your return flight on a Friday or Saturday, it's going to be about the same. Cheapest is $177. The best that I could figure this out is to budget. It's probably most likely going to be anywhere from $300 to $400 a person. Now, sometimes you can get it cheaper. The three of us actually went in this past summer.
Wait,
and
Matthew, do you mean, is there a cheaper way you can get tickets?
Well, there's possibilities. But
disclaimer real quick, we do not promote credit cards. No form or fashion. We do not support that. We do not think everybody ought to go back to credit cards. With that said,
I think it's important to note that we're not promoting anything, really. nobody's paying us to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you look at just the baseline cost of flying to Orlando, and you know, there may be some exceptions. There may be a sale of sorts. But you're looking at anywhere from $300 to $400. So on the low end, that's per person round trip. So on the low end cost for a family of four, you're looking at about $1,200 to fly round trip. And on the high end, closer to probably $1,600, which is a significant jump. So looking back over these numbers, you're looking at anywhere from $1,200 to $1,600 flying for a family of four, as opposed to $600 to $700 going via car. Now, obviously, it's up to you to determine whether or not it's worth the extra several hundred dollars to have the ease and comfort of flying.
But it could be as low as $300 to $400, too, without
right.
the hotel.
And then also, you're looking at adding, for the plane, there is early bird, which is $15 a person, eat both ways.
Right.
Now,
especially if your family wants to sit together.
That's what I'm saying. If it's a younger family, then I would encourage that, because we always did. This last time we went, we did not, because we got older children. It's not a big deal to sit by themselves. But that's another $30 per person you need to add in there.
And just one quick thing about that. If you're going to do early bird, do it when you buy your tickets. Don't wait and
right.
consider it. Just go on.
Because it's when you purchase it,
right.
with your early bird location.
Well, you can always add it.
Right.
But there's, if you fly Southwest, there's no, they'll sell as many of those as they can.
Right.
So I bought early bird one time and I was like B50.
Right.
Boarding.
We've always bought whenever we bought the tickets. So,
and I didn't, when I got it like that, I didn't purchase at the time of.
And I think the thing to keep in mind that for everybody that's listening is there are, hopefully you can tell, there are tons of options. We're talking about one airline, one family demographic from one city to Orlando. You know, there are infinite possibilities here as far as what this could cost, but our goal is to give you some ballpark numbers. Now, Craig, you mentioned a moment ago as far as flying the credit card. Southwest does offer their signature Premier Rapid Rewards credit card. A lot of times now, if you'll sign up for that, if you spend, I think, $2,000 to $3,000 in the first couple of months, they'll give you 60,000 points, which is usually on average at least enough to cover three round trips, usually. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But if you think that if you are a credit card person and you do know how to use it wisely, as Craig said, we're not promoting credit card use. It can be beneficial to your family. I know for Sissy and I, we've gotten several free flights through using that over the past, I think we've had it about 3 years now.
Just for instance, our last trip, us three, it cost me $15 to fly.
Right.
Because I had the points built up. And that's really where I went. What were they, $71, the tickets?
The flight tickets, one way was $135, and the other way was only about $60. I mean, okay. They were having a big sale. So for you, it was $15. For me, it was $60.
But y'all were both pass holders, and I was not. So that's where it came back. Mm-hmm. But it's well worth it. If you think, hey, I can get away these weekends, and you know that now, and that's 6 months down the road, look at it. Because you never know. I mean, the further out you can look, the better the deals are, because those want-to-get-aways go pretty fast. Again, we keep talking about Southwest, but for us, Southwest is what works for us.
Cheapest and best.
Yes.
For us.
Yep.
And, you know, it's all about what fits your family. So I think let's talk just a few minutes about perhaps – so maybe some pros and cons to each, and then we'll dive into the Magical Express, because maybe you know about Disney's Magical Express, maybe you've had experience with it, maybe you don't know. But just real quick, Derek, for you, which is the better option? Not what is more convenient or more enjoyable, but what is the best option for your family?
Convenience and enjoy, being able to enjoy it are part of...
You know what I'm saying, Derek.
I don't, because all of it factors into it, though. For us, flying is the way to do it. My rule for flying, if I can't get there in one day of driving, it's worth it to me to look into flying.
We may want to mention, because we haven't yet, how long does it take you to fly from here?
Oh, yes. The flight itself is, they usually advertise, I think, an hour and, 40 minutes for you to get there, maybe even closer to 2 hours. Usually we're in the air for about an hour and a half, it seems like. So it's a very quick flight. It's a very easy flight. But something else to take into account is you've got to get to the airport, 2 hours early, which for us means, you know, we're about an hour away from the Nashville airport. So
you have to park your car at the airport.
You got to park your car. There's cost. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. So flying, it's more convenient, but at the same time, it's still a long process. By the time you get in your car, drive to the airport, wait to get on the plane, fly, get there, wait on Magical Express, take the bus to the hotel. I tell my wife all the time, when our boys are older and able to stay in the car for longer stretches of time, I think just about every trip we take will be driving, personally.
And there is a lot, and y'all may agree with me on this, there's a lot of memories made driving, too, that's not made in a plane.
Oh, yeah.
But go ahead, Derek. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just going to agree with Matt. Once Boone gets old enough to sit and blow his mind away with video games, we may consider driving again, but before, until then, I would say for us, it's flying, because he flies for free right now. And
under two flies free.
Typically, we get our tickets from anywhere round trip for $300 to $500, probably. Because I'm always looking, mm-hmm. too. So, but one of the benefits to driving down is you're able to pack a lot more than you can onto a plane. You're able to take some things that you may need but aren't considered necessities, and I think that's a big thing that makes it, besides the initial cost, is something that, especially traveling with small children, there's always something that you may forget or won't, but can't squeeze into that check bag.
I mean, yeah, your convenience has so much to do with it as far as driving. And again, it's all about what is best for you.
And again, with the flying, and this is something I've learned, again, not this in the Southwest podcast, but when you fly Southwest, you get two bags for free. So my suggestion is always carry an empty bag with you. Take it down there with you, and then you've got the bag to come back with that you can load stuff up. Because that was always our thing, too.
You're getting a lot of souvenirs.
Your dirty clothes and stuff. For some reason, dirty clothes fit different in a bag than clean clothes.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how that is.
You get one carry-on and one small bag, correct?
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about the travel here. We haven't talked a lot about Disney, actually. Let's hit on that for just a few minutes before we close things out. Disney's Magical Express, which is a wonderful tool that they provide you with. They say it's free of charge. It's included in your cost, people. Basically, when you get to the Walt Disney World Airport, the Walt Disney World Airport, might as well be the Orlando International Airport, you will get off the plane, you will get on their monorail, you'll go down to baggage claim, and you might be asking, well, what do we do from there? Do we have to rent a car? You certainly can do that, as Craig talked about. But Craig, what is Disney's Magical Express?
When you get your magic bands, you'll get off the plane, you'll go to the Magical Express area, the first time you do that, it's like a wild goose chase, it feels like. But just look for the sign. Look for the signage that tells you where it's located. It's located basically in the basement, if you will, of the airport. But you'll find it. Once you do, they'll check your magic bands. They'll put you in the right area, depending on what hotel you're staying in. And then you'll get on there, wait for that bus to pretty much load up to how many is going there, and then they'll take you at your door and drop you off. Sometimes you'll go straight to your hotel. Sometimes you'll go to two or three others, and then they'll drop you off at yours. But the greatest thing about the Magical Express is, number one, someone else is driving you there. Number two, though, is once you check your luggage in at whatever airport you're checking in, ours is BNA, Nashville International. Once you check it in, you do not see that luggage again until you get inside your hotel. Now, again, that depends on if you've got a late flight, you've got to make arrangements for that. But pretty much for Magical Express, once you check your luggage in at whatever hotel or whatever resort, good grief, whatever airport you're departing from, once you check it in there, you don't sit again until you get to Disney. That's a great convenience, I think, and you're all set to go. You don't have to worry about that. Same way in reverse, you'll check them in there at the hotel. You won't see them again until you get to your home airport, whichever one you're going to.
And it is important to note that those luggage, those bags that you do kind of turn over to Disney, they may not show up to your hotel until a few hours after you've actually gotten to the hotel. So
I think they recommend
three hours. So whatever you plan to do that first day that you get to Disney World, you know, for example, we usually plan on going to a pool for a few hours. We'll pack our swim trunks and bathing suits in our backpack that we carry with us on the plane, just in case, so we have that and
an extra change of clothes just in case, you know, something happens with that. But it's called the Magical Express going down. What's it called on the way back, Derek?
Tragical Depressed.
And that's
that's what it is.
That's not our term. That's used in most Disney circles because why, Craig?
You just don't want to go home. I mean, you don't want to leave Disney.
I remember the first time we went and Craig was telling us about the Magical Express. He said, you know, you get on that bus when you get to Orlando and you're so excited and everybody is so cheerful. Just can't wait to get to their hotel and start experiencing Disney World. And then on the way back, it's just nobody says a word. You get on that bus and,
at least,
man.
I noticed the other day we came back on Friday evening and at least half the bus was asleep. And I'm just looking around and everybody's
asleep. You mean a Disney
World
vacation makes you tired?
I don't think so.
That's the difference for me in driving and flying, because you're back home an hour and a half rather than you got to drive all the way back home. That's what, for me, that's what promotes me flying rather than driving. But Magical Express, I love it. Now, this last time us three went, we did the Uber.
Yes.
And that was I like that.
If you're looking for efficiency, the thing with Magical Express is when you do land, you could wait 30 to 45 minutes for your bus to leave, because it's not just your own personal bus. You're waiting for that bus to fill up. And in some scenarios, some of those buses stop at three or four different resorts, and your resort may be the last one. So you're talking about by the time you land, by the time you get to your actual hotel, it could be a couple of hours. And let's just briefly talk about, but again, it's free, it's included in your cost. Let's talk just a moment about our experience with Uber. Again, we went this past summer in July, and we were looking to get there fast. Derek, Uber, what were your thoughts on it?
Our Uber driver was exciting. He was
not to talk about the drivers, the experience of the efficiency.
It was nice because we only had carry-on luggage, so it was easy for us. We shot straight down to the taxi service whatever floor that was on and could get picked up from the app within 5 minutes of making, telling them we wanted to ride, and we were there in 40 minutes, maybe. I don't know.
I think it was closer to 30.
Was it? It should have been the way he was driving.
He was moving. And it's like he's probably drove the same way Craig drove to get there in 6 hours.
All right, I made a mistake.
Craig does Uber on the side.
We actually, I don't know if we can we tell that on the Uber driver. We're not saying his name or anything, but he actually went in the turn lane and passed about 15 cars.
Yes,
and
that was.
He cut back in front of him.
Yes. If one of us had been driving, we'd still be in Orlando City Jail.
And then on the way back, the Uber driver we had couldn't find Bay Lake Towers.
Yes. I mean, so a lot of times it's a roll of the dice, just as with any transportation. But Craig, actually, because he was a first-time Uber user, I was able to give him my code, and we got a $20 off. So for the total trip for the three of us to get from Orlando International Airport to Polynesian, the Polynesian Village Resort, so we could have some Tonga toast. It was about 30 minutes and $15. And so
how much
for us, it was very
30 minute
drive, $15 trip.
And $15?
Yeah.
And? Did he say and?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was.
Okay.
What? I've used Uber 3 times. I've had an enjoyable experience all 3 times. But
Guy on the return trip was fine. Once he got there, we...
And again, that's something else that we were able to do because we didn't have small children with us.
Right.
If you need a car seat or multiple car seats, you're looking at renting a larger Uber car, which is going to cost more money. So with kids, Uber isn't as friendly of a service.
Don't worry about that on Magical Express.
Right.
And again, for small kids, Magical Express is a neat thing. It's just it's part of the trip that you just have to do.
You got cartoons, you got videos. There's videos of rides that they'll get to experience while they're there. So we've talked about the idea of how do we get to Walt Disney World and some of the costs that's involved in that. Again, with flying, you're looking at anywhere, it could be as low as $1,000, but more likely it's going to be around $1,300, $1,400. Traveling, $600 to $700. If you don't stop to spend a night, either way, it's more like $300. And then renting a car, you're looking at $200 to $300 for a week. Is that right, Craig?
That's correct.
So these are just some numbers.
And if you decide on, if it's family of four, you probably, I mean, you can get a large car, and it's going to be about half that price, but probably you're looking at SUV.
One thing that was mentioned earlier was groceries. I just wanted to briefly mention this, and we can talk about it in the future. One thing that we've used in the past is Garden Grocer. It's known pretty well in Disney circles. Basically, you can go to the Garden Grocer website, and you can make an order. They'll deliver the groceries to your hotel room. They are a little more expensive than you'll find at the old Save-A-Lot down the road here, but you know, quality groceries.
For convenience.
You're paying for convenience. It's going to be cheaper than you can get it at Disney World, and you're saving yourself having to borrow a car and go off-site.
Did y'all see one of the latest updates is they're planning on building like a grocery store on Disney?
I did not see that.
Yeah, that's one of the things, because there's a part, and I'm just going blank of the development, what it's called. It's kind of like Disney Springs, but they're actually going to have a grocery store there that is not that expensive.
So
that could be an option
fantastic
down the road as well. But Garden Grocer has always been awesome.
Right.
It's there when you get there, and it's everything you want. I mean, they've got everything you need.
And one thing that we'll also get to, we haven't talked about transportation within Walt Disney World. Again, this is just to kind of let you know about budgeting. And I know, Craig, you'll have some thoughts about the bus system at Walt Disney World and the pros and many cons
yes,
that come with that. But any final thoughts on, guys, on the cost and the efficiency of getting there?
Just about your Garden Grocer again. It's just one of those things, like the earlier you do your order, the cheaper it is.
Right.
Because they give discounts for so far in advance. So it may not be as expensive as it could be closer to time. So.
And if you are happen to go with other families, you always can go in together. It's always best in groups.
Right.
Whatever you do at Disney, if you can do it in groups, it's sometimes cheaper and you can find some deals on some of those things. So that's always a benefit. I'm sitting here trying to think of anything else that we didn't cover as far as transportation going down, and I think we covered pretty much everything.
And again, a lot of the numbers that we crunched, if you live in Montana, is not going to apply, but again, we encourage you to go online and research that for yourself. One thing we didn't mention last time, you can contact us with any questions you may have. Our email address is grimgrinningguys@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is up and running as well at Grim Grinning Guys, and we can also find us on Twitter at Grim Grin Guys. So we encourage you to follow us on all those social media outlets. Email us if you have any more specific questions. Craig, I believe it's your turn to offer up our Grim Grinning Greatness question. Now, we started this in our last episode. The beauty of this is the rest of us don't know what the question is going to be.
Neither does Craig.
So we will rotate.
I get it now.
And the person asking the question will ask, what is your favorite something at Walt Disney World? Last week, it was, what is your favorite ride at Epcot? We all said Spaceship Earth. We're going to try to differentiate our answers from here on out. So, Craig, what's your Grim Grinning Greatness question of the week?
Okay, and this is right up Derek's alley. What is your favorite snack at any park?
Oh, wow. Favorite snack. Well, Craig, you asked the question, so that means you have to go first.
I've had lots of different ones, but now this last time I went with you guys, I'm hooked now on the pretzels, the cream cheese pretzels.
It's
over in the Astro Orbiter in at Disney World. Launching pad, thank you.
Launching pad.
That's what it should be. Oh, it is.
Yeah.
but that's probably one of my top favorites. Of course, you know, what's my favorite drink?
The LeFou's Brew.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes, that's one of my favorites.
It makes me sad that you mentioned the...
Unibrow.
The stuffed pretzel. Actually, while Craig and Derek were getting a cream cheese stuffed pretzel on our trip this summer, old Matt here was at City Hall telling them that my bag had flown out while I was riding Space Mountain. So I didn't get a cream cheese stuffed pretzel. That's another podcast.
How to handle when you lose something.
I had to bum money off of Craig and Derek the rest of the day. But for me, I think, and this was something I tried on the last trip too, my new favorite snack is probably the carrot cake cookie. And that can be found at Sweet Spells in Hollywood Studios. There may be another location, but that's where we had it. And I'm not even that big of a carrot cake fan, but this was a phenomenal snack. Especially a good. It's not very expensive. Good use as a snack credit. And Craig, you mentioned LeFou's Brew. I'm a fan of the LeFou's Brew, but for me, probably thinking of it right now, the carrot cake cookie. Derek?
Well, then you would probably add the Goofy Glacier in with that, wouldn't you?
You know,
if we're going with a drink, let's go. I mean, I've already changed it now. Let's go in with a snack and a drink.
So. Well, you can get the Goofy's Glacier strawberry mixed with the lemonade version for me. I like the strawberry lemonade Goofy Glacier and the carrot cake cookie from Sweet Spells. You can get it right there at the same stop. Derek, what? Snack and a frozen beverage.
I have to go to two different places because I'm going to Refreshment Port and getting the. What are they called?
The croissant donut?
The croissant donut. Cronut.
Yes.
It's really...
And where is Refreshment Port?
It's before you get to Canada and World Showcase.
Old Epcot.
I just went to the roasted coconut ice cream in France, too. So, I mean, sorry.
Sample.
Sorry.
What's your frozen drink of choice?
Frozen drink would have to be the PB&J milkshake from 50s Primetime.
We could talk all...
There are so many,
day.
And then when the Food and Wine Festival is, I mean, there's so much.
But the pumpkin spice Mickey waffles were very good.
Yes, you may have seen that on our Facebook page. Derek, we put a picture of the pumpkin spice Mickey waffles from Sleepy Hollow in the Magic Kingdom. A lot of great snacks, and we'll get into food and food choices and the best way to budget your money food-wise. But I think that just about does it. Guys, you got anything else?
I'm out.
That's it.
I gotta go.
We can get
mic
there now.
Drop.
You can get there now.
My probie's called.
Yes, you have an idea of how to get there and how to budget that. In our next episode, we'll be looking at accommodations. Again, we thank you for listening to this episode of the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. This has been the Carousel of Process. Travel, travel, travel. So please remember to like, share, and listen with all your friends, and make sure that you don't forget to
beware the hitchhiking ghost.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Once again, please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. And go ahead and pull down on those lap... Okay. Sorry.
Lapdars.
I love lapdars.
As always, please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching.
You can't do it.
Lapdar.
Lapdar.
Okay. Dar.
Here we go.
Gosh, what? I thought I was fixing a cough, so I'm like over here.
That's the pirates. The lapdar.
Okay. And...